I'm Stephen Booker. My wife and I and our two boys placed membership back in January, and we have loved being members here. And thank you, Stanley, for putting that slide up about the volunteer event on July 9th. We're going to be just helping hand out some food at the St. Luke's Gethsemane campus. So if you would like to help and volunteer, let me know, or there should be a sign-up sheet in the back. But with Joseph being out of town, he volunteered to speak. There's someone else here that looks like Joseph. He might be his twin brother. And so last week we had Leland, and next week we're actually having my father-in-law, Jim. But this week you have me. And so Joseph told me I could talk about whatever I wanted. So I picked one of my favorite scriptures, Psalm 23. And it's probably one of the most quoted Psalms out there and memorized by Christians throughout the generations. And as one of the Psalms of David, he writes it with a lot of imagery and metaphors. And it's been one that I've memorized in the past and have chanted to myself whenever I'm feeling stressed or afraid or going through something. And I wanted to take a deeper look into Psalm 23 and see what was David thinking when he was writing it, and what were the original readers of the psalm also thinking? What were their perspective? And so I'd like to share some of my thoughts with you, and I hope we can all take a deeper look at Psalm. I'd like to read it again one more time, and then we'll say a prayer, and I'd like to just go through line by line, and we can dissect what David meant as he was writing it. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Let's pray. Dear God, we thank you for your word that you've given to us. We ask that you help us now to focus on you and give us understanding as we go through your word. Give us wisdom and help us apply this to our lives. Amen. If you had the task of finding a metaphor to describe your relationship with God, what would it be? That's exactly what David is doing here. He is using metaphors and imagery to describe his relationship with God. And he uses the metaphor of a shepherd and sheep, which isn't surprising because David was a shepherd. When he was growing up, he was taking care of his father's sheep. And there are even scriptures of David taking on lions and bears to protect his sheep. So he was very familiar with the responsibilities of shepherd and also the actions of sheep as he was watching over them. So now let's go through line by line. The first sentence says, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." Right from the beginning, David is describing his relationship as a personal one. He says, "The Lord is my shepherd." He didn't say, "The Lord is the shepherd or our shepherd," but he describes it as a personal one where he has an intimate connection with God. David's also writing from the perspective of a sheep. I'm what you call a city slicker, so the only sheep that I've come in contact with were at the rodeo. And so we finally got to go to the rodeo this past year. I took my two-year-old, and it was fun watching them take out and shake the kids off. And they immediately look for whatever's safe. So it's often a bunch of sheep off in the corner, and so they'll run over there. So that was Landon's first time seeing sheep, and so that was exciting. But other than that, I'm not truly familiar with sheep. But sheep are referred to many times throughout the scriptures. And the society back then was an agricultural society. And so it was centered around farming and growing either wheat or raising animals. I can't even think of how many prophets where it describes how many livestock they had or how many herds were under their responsibility. And so the original readers of the psalm back then would have also been very familiar with the responsibilities of shepherds, and metaphors like the sheep and the shepherds would have really resonated with them. and something both familiar and respected in their society. And being from Texas, when I think of livestock, I think of cows or pigs or chickens, but are mainly used for food. But with sheep, they're not used for food. They were kept their entire lives and used for wool. And so it would be generations of sheep that these shepherds would look after. And every day they're following these sheep, guiding them and protecting them. And it's a source of income for these people. And so special care was taken to make sure that they had everything that they needed. And they were treated as part of the family, sometimes even given names and having different sheepish personalities. That's a pun for Stanley. And so it sounds funny to say that about the mutton-busting sheep. But imagine a family dog or a cat. We take them to the vet. We let them, or at least we do, we let them sit on the couches. We take care of them. We keep them close, make sure they're safe. This is how the shepherds would treat their sheep as they were watching over them. And that's how David describes the Lord watching over him. And the second part of the verse, I shall not want. It's poetic, but you have to think about it to think of what it actually means. And essentially, what David is saying is that all of my needs are met, which doesn't sound nearly as poetic, but that's his true meaning from this. So from this first verse, from this first sentence, we get from David that the Lord has a personal relationship with him and wants to meet all of his needs. Now let's look at the next sentence. He makes me lie down in green pastures and leads me beside still waters. Now, David is continuing the metaphor of a sheep being cared for and protected by the shepherd, who is the Lord watching over all of his flock. He cares for the sheep all their lives and makes them to lie down in green pastures. Due to the nature of the seasons, green pastures aren't always easy to find, but it's the responsibility of the shepherd to lead the sheep to these pastures for them to be able to eat and to graze and be safe. And at the same time, a pasture is in the open country, so they're vulnerable to predators. And so it's the shepherd's responsibility also to protect the sheep. Shepherding is all about provision and protection, providing for and protecting the flock. And this psalm speaks of the Lord as the one who can be relied on to provide for and protect the ones that trust in him. David says, the Lord leads him beside still waters. In Hebrew, still waters also means beside waters of rest. I've never had to take care of sheep, but from reading about them a little, sheep are pretty skittish. They can frighten easily, and they get startled, and they panic, and it's the shepherd's responsibility to be able to calm them down and let them know that they're safe and taken care of. And when reading about the sheep, I'm almost reminded of myself, how easily I can be caught up in stressed out situations or start worrying about things that don't really matter in the big picture. And David also had these stresses and worries. He felt fearful and anxious, whether he was fleeing for his life from Saul, or when he was in mourning for his son Absalom, who was sick and he was begging the Lord to heal him. I can't imagine that kind of mourning, but because of David's personal relationship with the Lord, he was able to overcome his fears and distress, trusting the Lord to take him to a place of rest. I think we all know what it feels like to be anxious, to not be able to sleep at night, to be worrying about things to come, or even searching for things to stress about. And what we can learn from this psalm is that our shepherd can and will calm our fears and anxiety. Oftentimes, when I become anxious, it's so easy for me to be wrapped up, and I'll dwell on it, and I won't be able to sleep for days and weeks. I'll just be fixated on whatever stress this is. And it's usually my wife that'll remind me, have you prayed about it? And that's usually a wake-up call. And so I'll finally pray about it and take it to the Lord. And suddenly, it doesn't seem so bad anymore. Things seem to calm down. And I believe that's what David is talking about here when he writes this. He leads me beside waters of rest. God can restore us if we're talking to him. Which brings us to this next verse. He restores my soul. This is what happens when we trust God and let him take us beside the waters of rest. He will give us peace and restore our soul. In order for something to be restored, it must first be broken or lost. Jesus uses a similar analogy in his parable of the lost sheep in Luke chapter 15. When a sheep is lost, the shepherd will leave the rest together and go and search for his lost sheep. The same way that God will come search for us when we are lost and restore us. David had a crazy life and committed plenty of sins, yet God still restored him each time. David's known as a man after God's own heart because of the personal relationship he had with the Lord and his trust that the Lord would restore him. David also writes, "He leads me down paths of righteousness for his name's sake." Now picturing a traveler and a companion leading through the path of righteousness and always being present. The path of righteousness also translates as the right paths. The Lord knows what paths are good, and he's ready to lead us down those paths. However, it's our choice whether or not we want to follow him. If we're willing to follow him down the good path. There are many distractions in the world, and sometimes it feels easier to go down the wrong path instead of the right one. God never leaves us, though. As David writes in his next verse, "Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me." In other translations, the shadow of the valley of death is also referred to as through the darkest valley. Taken literally, a dark valley of death sounds terrifying. When moving sheep from pasture to pasture, often it was over rocky terrain or in dark areas where predators are waiting for any straggling sheep. And so David knew that the safest place was with the shepherd. The sheep need to stay close to the shepherd for their protection. Even in our darkest times, when we feel our worst and far away from God, we have nothing to fear as he is with us. We may make choices that don't align with God, and we may try to take steps away from him out of fear or temptation, but he is always with us and ready to carry us back to the flock, just like in Jesus' parable of the lost sheep. David is saying, even when I go through something dark, I know that you are with me in the midst of that. David knew that it was important to stay close to the shepherd. When the enemy sees that you're going through a dark time, or if you feel alone, he isn't going to take it easy on you. He's going to kick you while you're down. That's why it's important to stay close to your shepherd in times of need and have no fear. Did anyone notice the subtle change in the language that David is using as well? So far, he's been speaking about the Lord, saying, "The Lord is my shepherd. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul." Now, David is speaking to the Lord, and he continues this through the rest of the psalm, saying, "The Lord, you are with me." This is a side note and goes along with the sheep and shepherd analogy, but I think this is also important where the importance of the flock comes in. So when sheep are separated, just like the rodeo sheep, they look for the flock for safety, and they will run over to them. And I think the same thing applies to us as a church. There have been times when I've been through trials or fallen into temptation where I don't want to go to church. I don't want to talk to anyone. I don't want to be around people. But that's where the wisdom of my mother came in. And although I knew she was going through trials even worse than I could imagine, she made us go to church. And it was there that the church family surrounded us and protected us and prayed for us. And the Lord never left us. Only when we stay close will we have nothing to fear when going through the darkest valleys and faced with death. David writes next, "Your staff and rod, they comfort me." Protection is an added theme here, with the shepherd's staff used to support the sheep and the rod used to ward off enemies. Oftentimes throughout the Bible, a staff is used for a traveler on a journey to support him, or like the shepherd's crook to gently guide the sheep along. And a rod is more meant as a weapon or a spear to ward off enemies. And it's important to remember that the rod isn't used as a weapon on the sheep, but against enemies. And the staff isn't used as a weapon, but as a gentle guide. And this is a display of the power of God being both gentle and powerful. David writes next, "You prepare for me a table in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows." The imagery changes again here to a host and a guest. The host preparing a table, anointing with oil, and filling the cup of the guest. Back in David's time, perfumed oils were used as a time of rejoicing. And the overflowing cup is a symbol of how generous the host is. Going back to the parable of the lost sheep, Jesus tells the Pharisees in Luke 15, verse 7, "I tell you that in the same way there will be more rejoicing in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous persons who do not need to repent." The Lord is rejoicing in those that trust in him. And David appears so filled with joy that he acknowledges that the Lord has protected and provided for him, and he will always be with the Lord forever, dwelling in his house. Also, back in the times of David, the culture dictated that if a host accepted anyone into their house, whether it was for a place to sleep or shelter, or it was for a meal, they were under their complete protection. It was the host's responsibility to even lay down their lives for their guests. That was the culture. And here, David is saying, even when surrounded by enemies, the Lord is watching over and protecting him as his host, and he has nothing to fear. The Lord provides the table, he provides the banquet, but also protection. And the Lord can protect better than any of us can. Lastly, David says, "Surely grace and mercy will follow me all my days, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." This can also be translated as, "Only goodness and steadfast love shall follow me all the days of my life." Again, David is pointing out his desire to constantly be close to God, to have that personal and intimate relationship, just like the sheep staying close to their shepherd. From the beginning of the psalm, the Lord is with David and provides for him and protects him. David has no intention of ever leaving God and proclaims that he will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. This isn't just hanging out at the temple or coming to the church building, but having an intimate relationship with God, talking to God daily, taking his stresses and fears to him, with the knowledge that God's grace, mercy, and love will follow him all the days of his life, and even past his physical life, throughout eternity forever. Although this psalm was written thousands of years ago, it still applies today. The shepherd of David is your shepherd. Using a few different themes and metaphors, the message of the psalm is a prayer of trust, thanking the Lord for his grace, mercy, protection, and love. The Lord will protect and provide for us, and this psalm is a song of rejoicing. Similar to Jesus' prayer, "Give us this day our daily bread, forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil, for you are the kingdom, power, and glory forever." Do you think David was ever stressed or fearful? It was thousands of years ago, but it applies exactly today. We have the same stresses, the same worries, the worry of what is to come, of war, of money, of providing, of the economy, of sickness, if we don't know how to handle something. The Lord is our shepherd. We'll stick close to him. And I say, bring on the worst. God is with us, and it'll be all right. So if you have any prayers today, I encourage you to come forward as we stand and sing.